Quiet on the set.
Sorry.
We're going national here.
Okay.
Sammy.
We can't read the suite then if we're on the national show. No one cares about the Leafs, right?
I think it's you they don't care about.
Yeah, very true.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite.
Yeah,
yeah. And we do care about you.
Oh, thank you.
Sammy McKee for the next hour. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Less than 24 hours to the NHL trade deadline. Of course, yeah. Sportsnet will be there every step of the way for you tomorrow, starting 10 a.m. If it's 10 p.m., we're in trouble.
Real trouble. Yeah. 24 hours till the start of our show, which will be the trade deadline wrap-up.
Yeah.
All national, both hours.
Just a reminder, tomorrow we will be starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, and we will be on for 2 hours, so we get to kind of wrap everything up.
Breaking down Crosby to the Canucks and everything else that's going to happen. Stay tuned.
Now, there is also talk that Sid, they could be offering Sid a new three-year deal by July. He's eligible for a contract extension. Pittsburgh.
Is he going to stop taking $8.7 million at some point in his career?
Oh, this one goes to 10.
10?
Oh, yeah. No way. 10?
Jeez.
It's Sid Crosby scoring 90 points.
I'm joking.
They should give him 15.
He should, be a lifetime achievement award. Right. Yeah. $20 million a year.
Yeah. With that, salary cap exemption for Sid.
That would take him to 40. And then you could see him shutting it down, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
unless, of course, Vancouver wants to step up or the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. I think Hoglander for Crosby, it's there for him. Make it happen.
We're going to welcome in Jesse Granger in a few minutes. Golden Knights covers them with The Athletic, NHL Network as well. So we're going to talk Vegas and pulling rabbits out of their hat as Noah Hanifin ends up there. What are you? You're shaking me off like an 0-2 fastball
he's
right
mad
now.
At the Knights.
No, I'm not.
You're jealous of the Knights.
You know me, my Golden Knights. Love the Knights. I don't know how they do it. I am so
just
impressed.
Pure by, alpha. They do whatever they want.
I'm so impressed by them. Like, they clearly know what they need to do to keep people involved there, to keep them having stars, being good, and they just trade. Like the Conroy thing on the trade. It's like. It's this year's, unless we trade it again, then you get next year's.
Yeah.
It's like they just win every trade they're in. They get stars. They make guys go on LTIR by hitting them with a tire iron. I don't know what they do, but I love it.
We'll get into more detail on Vegas in a few minutes. But in the meantime, guys, Colorado Avalanche.
Mm.
I've lost track of how many guys up front they've traded for. We know Walker's there.
What they're doing.
But today was another huge day. Brandon Duhame.
Big.
From the Minnesota Wild for a third round pick.
Yeah, he's a.
He's on his way there.
26 years old.
And Trennan from Nashville.
Mean. Skates.
Like they needed two of these guys?
Scores. Yeah, that fourth line is suddenly so good.
Well, we mentioned it when the Leafs played them. Remember how we talked about outside of their top guys, they were looking a little thin. It was like a lot of Ryan Johansson and Colton and Parise and, you know, it's guys that aren't exactly household names at this point. And I think Joe Sakic agreed. He's like, yeah, time to completely rebuild my forward core.
And it looks really good.
It does.
Mittelstadt is a 2C now between Nikushkin and Drouin. You know, I've always liked Colton and Miles Wood as a third line, Duhame with Cogliano and Trennan. Then with Walker being added to the back end, you know, it's Taves, Makar, Gerard, Manson, Walker. You know, Jack Johnson will fill in as your six, but geez, that's a really good hockey team.
Yeah.
The top of the West is loaded. I think there's six teams in the West that might be better than the second best team in the East.
Are the Oilers and Vegas headed on a collision course in the first round? Like Colorado, Vegas, Edmonton, all in this trade deadline.
Kings are ahead of them now, so it'd be Kings Oilers if it started now, but you know, with these additions, you got to think they're going to get better.
Like someone may go home very disappointed in the first round.
Someone will go home. You know, there's six teams here. I think that are going to say Dallas is all in as well, right?
Mm.
I mean Winnipeg's all in. They've got Sean Monahan added. I mean, the West is going to be an absolute dogfight this year.
Slog.
Yeah.
Okay, let's welcome in Jesse Granger. Jess, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us. You do a terrific job covering the Knights for The Athletic, the NHL Network. First of all, what do you make of this whole thing with Vegas, and how do they keep pulling this thing off?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys. I was listening to you just before I got on here, and yeah, the West is pretty wild. I asked Bruce Cassidy yesterday, like, what's it like for you watching the deadline news and all the trades go down as a coach? And he's like, yeah, I just keep hoping to see guys go East, but they aren't. They're all coming West. So he's getting ready for it. And yeah, the Golden Knights are one of those teams loading up. And I mean, Kelly McCrimmon's ability to pull off the trade is impressive. I mean, he goes after a lot of guys, but so do other GMs. He just ends up getting his guy just about every time, it seems like, over the last 5 years or so. And they clearly came into this trade deadline with their sights set high, and they've got two good players, one really good player, Noah Hanifin tonight. And the way they've set it up, and they gave that fifth-round pick to Philly to retain even more of Hanifin's space, it looks like they're going for another trade, and it could be a big one. They are going all in with this team. They realize the window is not going to be open forever with some of their better players really aging, and they've just decided to go all in.
Okay, we're going to definitely touch on that, on what may be coming that's a lot bigger here. But in the meantime, where is the Noah Hanifin fit, not just short-term but long-term here? Because this is a defense that is the envy of most all teams in the National Hockey League. Where's the long play for Hanifin here?
Yeah, I really think that was my biggest takeaway from the trade last night, was this is definitely not your typical rental. I think this is looking forward to the future for this blue line. And like you mentioned, they're a very good blue line. Last year in the playoffs, they were the best. And that was, to me, the biggest reason they won the Stanley Cup. Yes, Marchessault and Eichel scored goals, and Aiden Hill played his best 2 months of his life in net. But they're six defensemen were, to me, the reason they won the Stanley Cup. And this year they haven't been as good, and they've had some injuries that they've dealt with, but recently they've all six been healthy and the results haven't been good. They've been getting up with a lot of goals. Alec Martinez is the oldest player on the team at 36, and he looks every bit of it these last few months. Now he has been put on IR since then, so he was dealing with something, so that's part of it, but it's also just these guys are getting old. Alex Pietrangelo is still the best defenseman on this team, but he's getting older. Braden McNabb is a solid second pair defenseman, but he's not hitting as much as he used to. Those big hip checks we used to see every game are kind of disappearing. I think this was Kelly McCrimmon saying, look, our blue line is good. Let's not wait for them to fall off a cliff before we try to infuse some younger players in it. Hanifin's only 27. He'll be the youngest player on this blue line. Nick Hague's the only one younger. He's even younger than Whitecloud. So I think I expect an extension for Hanifin, and I expect him to be a big part, him and Shea Theodore, to kind of be the pillars of this blue line for the next several years. And I think Hanifin's a perfect fit for the system they run. I think the system they're running in Calgary was a little bit of a zone scheme, similar to what Cassidy runs, so I think that'll be an easy transition. And he breaks the puck out of the zone really well. To me, when the Golden Knights are struggling, that's their biggest problem, is turnovers exiting the zone. They've really struggled with puck management, getting out of their own end lately, and Hanifin's so good. He's such a good skater. He just takes it out himself if he has to. He has a great stretch pass. I think he checks a lot of boxes for them right now, what they need, and like I said, makes them younger.
So if you look at goals for per game, the Vegas Golden Knights find themselves behind Dallas, Edmonton, Vancouver, I think there's another one ahead of them in their division there. So they've got they're I would say fourth or fifth best offensive team heading into the postseason. Do you expect them to find a way to add more goals here before it's all said and done?
Yeah, I do think they'll get another winger. Whether that's one of the premier wingers, Gensel and Buchnevich and those guys, or maybe the next tier down. If they don't get one of those guys, I could see them go into the next tier down. They already added Mantha, who isn't an elite scorer, but he is having the best shooting season of his career. He's scored quite a bit for Washington, so I think he's going to add a little bit of that. But yes, I do think that they're going to add at least one more guy, and it'll probably be a winger that can score some goals for them. Their identity is defensive, and that's just the way Cassidy always prefers to win a 2-1 game, and it worked in the playoffs. They did have some games where they went off with the goals, but for the most part, they were playing a defensive strategy, trying to win low-scoring games. And I think especially against high-powered, high-octane teams like Colorado, Edmonton, even Vancouver, when their shooters are going, I think Vegas is definitely going to try to keep games tight, and they prefer a tight checking style. So while I do expect them to add scoring, I think I don't expect this team to try to outscore teams in the playoffs.
They can't get Guentzel. That would open up.
Just go down?
That would be an investigation. It would be an inquiry. There'd be like, yeah, it's just, that's not happening, is it?
Well, they had Hanifin retain 50% with Calgary, and then they paid that extra fifth round pick to have Philadelphia retain the extra 25%. And what that did was it gave them over $3 million in usable cap space. It would have been under $3 million. That got them just over. And if you bring in Guentzel with 50% retained, it's exactly $3 million. So I haven't heard that they're getting Guentzel. I don't want this to come off as a report that they're getting him.
Listen,
but I'm just telling you, connect the dots. The way Kelly goes aggressive after these guys, it makes a lot of sense.
Jess, you don't get radioed on our show. You just spitball like crazy.
Yeah, we just throw things at the wall, man. No one takes us seriously.
See if it sticks.
Yeah. If you traded Crosby yesterday, you're fine.
Wow.
Would not shock me.
That would be a game changer beyond belief.
And to me, I don't think it's likely just because of the extension that would come after it. Like, I think, like, they gave up a lot for Hanifin. I think they got a pretty good deal, but they gave up a good amount for Hanifin, but that's because I expect them to sign him. They haven't liked to buy rentals that they aren't going to sign. Like, you saw the Barbashev deal last year. Pretty much every big player that they've added at the deadline, they end up extending, and I don't see a way for them to extend Guentzel. So to me, that's why if they were going to get one of those top guys, I think Buchnevich might be a little more likely just because he's got another year of term. I don't know. I think with Guentzel, the extension next year makes it really sticky.
Who do you consider Vegas's top competition in a pretty stacked Pacific division? I mean, the West in general is very good, but the Pacific itself, you're going to have to go through Vancouver, Edmonton, LA quite likely.
Yeah, I mean, they're all very good. I think Vancouver, to me, is a very good team, but they just have not matched up well with the Golden Knights. And this has been, I mean, for years they've struggled. If you look at their overall record, it's very bad against the Golden Knights. But even this season, I think Vegas is a big, heavy team. And as good as Vancouver's playing this year, they are a little smaller. They're more finesse. And I think Vegas has been able to bully them around. Things change pretty quickly in the NHL. I think Vancouver can absolutely beat them in a playoff series, but I would favor Vegas over Vancouver. Whereas Edmonton, I think, man, you guys mentioned, are they on a collision course? I sure hope so, because that sounds the most fun to me in the first round. Last year's series in the second round was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. These teams do not like each other. Like, you talk to players for both sides, that they won't come out and say it's the biggest rivalry, but they do not like each other. And if they play in the first round, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's kind of what I'm rooting for.
So, does the Mark Stone situation and his status, does it feel like last year's status, or is this one different? Is the feel that it's a lot more unlikely that he'll return like he did last year?
So it's actually funny that you say that, because it's a little like, I think we don't remember it as it happened in the moment last year, because going into the playoffs last year, nobody picked Vegas to do anything in the playoffs. And it's because they didn't look great down the stretch, because they didn't have Stone. And we didn't really expect Stone to be back the first game. I mean, he didn't get on the ice with the team until like a couple days before that opening day of the playoffs. Heading into it, I thought Stone was going to be out. And if he did come back, I thought it was going to take him a long time to get back to being himself. Clearly that didn't happen. He jumped right back in game one. He was amazing and led them all the way to the cup final. So I think it feels similarly to last year, but that's because last year I was skeptical going in. I didn't expect him to do what he did. So, yes, I do think there's some – I don't think everybody in Vegas is confident he's going to be ready for the playoffs.
Do you remember the viz that they had of him jumping on the ice for the first time at the practice facility, and you're like, oh, that guy ain't playing. He was very ginger stepping on the ice, and it was his back, was it not?
Yes. Last year, he had his second back surgery in, like, I think 9 months. They were only 9 months apart. He had the first one the year before, and then last year he had a second one. This year, obviously, is not the back. But it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know what his timeline is. I do know that it's probably going to be close to when the playoffs start. Wouldn't surprise me if he misses some playoff time, though.
Do you think it's unfair for people to be skeptical?
I understand where the skepticism comes from because it's the same player 3 years in a row that's been put on LTIR. And
3 years in a row, is it?
Use that space. Well, it was the year they traded for Eichel. They had Stone on LTIR, and then they had Eichel on LTIR, and then they swapped the two. So it wasn't the exact same situation. Yeah. But the year they traded for Eichel, they were using a lot of LTIR that year, just like they did last year, and just like they are right now. But I always say this, like, you can be skeptical, and yes, it is very fortunate timing for a very unfortunate thing to happen. But that's all, to me, that's all it is. Yeah. Would the Vegas Golden Knights rather have Mark Stone healthy? Yes. If he's going to get hurt, this was the ideal time for it to happen.
Oh,
and
it was fantastic timing.
Well, it's just, Jesse, part of it for me is like, it's the most unprovable thing on earth. It's my spleen. It's like, how can you say it's not hurt? You know, it seems so made up.
I think he had surgery for it, so they can prove. I would imagine with how much attention is happening on this, the NHL is very much. I remember last year asking, and the NHL did check in on Stone as the regular season was winding down. The NHL is checking in and making sure everything is above board. So I would expect with as much attention as this guy. And what's funny is, they won the cup, and Stones gets a lot of attention. Half the league is using LTIR right now. They're just not using it as aggressively as the Golden Knights.
So by chance that Vegas and Edmonton clash in the first round, is that a good thing? That at the very least, you envision a conference final between these two, not a first round match. Someone's going to go, some fan base is going to just be devastated after this trade deadline that one of these teams could be out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it does feel a little anticlimactic for it to happen in the first round, but the way I think about it is if you get that, then you get two more rounds. If whoever wins that, say it's Edmonton, you get Edmonton-Vancouver in the second round, and then you get Edmonton-Colorado in the conference final. That sounds amazing, ooh, too. But the other way, say it's Vegas, Vancouver, that'd be a great series. And then Vegas, Colorado was an excellent series 2 years ago. So I think there are a lot of good matchups in the West. It is going to be, the playoffs in the West are going to be spectacular. I do see why you would maybe want that one to happen a little later, but I personally just give it to us in the first round. These teams don't like each other. The way it ended last season with the Petrangelo slash on Draisaitl, that series is going to be money.
And you like them to, you like their chances against Edmonton, looking at the moves that they made at the trade deadline? How do you see them matching up against each other this time?
I think I definitely think Edmonton's a tough matchup, but I think Vegas does well against that type of team. They beat Edmonton last year. I mentioned the Colorado series the year before when Vegas beat Colorado. The Golden Knights have the type of forwards, the type of defensive lockdown forwards that give high octane offenses problems. They were able to shut the McKinnon-Rantanen line down 2 years ago. Last year, William Karlsson did a phenomenal job against McDavid, and you're not going to shut him down, but you can at least neutralize him a little bit to let your depth take over. So I do think Vegas matches up well. To me, that series is going to come down to goaltending because Adin Hill hasn't been playing as well lately. Last year, he was obviously on a heater, and he started this year on that same heater. If Adin Hill's playing at his best, I think Vegas has a clear edge over Edmonton. If he's not, then it comes down to how Skinner's playing, and he's been up and down too. Early in the year, he didn't look like he had it. Lately, he's been a lot better. So if those two teams play, to me, out of Adin Hill and Stuart Skinner, whoever's feeling it, that's probably the team I'd pick.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Last one for me. Just want to get your thoughts on Jack Eichel's season and where he's at in his career. Is he a different player from when he came to Vegas, or still sort of the same point-per-game guy that can break a game open?
No, I think he's a much different player. Away from the puck, he's so good.
Yeah.
And so when he first came here, when Bruce Cassidy first came here, he and Eichel met, and we've talked about it a lot over the last year because Eichel, he kind of challenged him defensively away from the puck to be better. Last season, we saw it a little bit in the regular season. But then when the playoffs got here, Jack Eichel was a different player. He was a monster away from the puck. His back check, I mean, just the physical tools he has, he started using them to take the puck away from people, and he was so good. And then this year, I thought he kind of just rolled in and kept that playoff form up. I thought early in the year, he was a Selke candidate. Obviously, that injury that took him out for a couple months is probably going to take that chances of that away, but I really do think he's one of the better off puck centers in the league. Plus, he's still the point per game guy that you're used to, that he's been his whole career. So, yeah, I mean, he didn't look great in his first game back, but it was his first game back after knee surgery. So cut him a little slack there. I think he's going to be a big part of this team. And you guys mentioned with the additions, Vegas should be better down the stretch. To me, Jack Eichel's the biggest addition. They've been without him for 2 months. They get him back. He's their number one center. I think he's going to be a big part of whatever they do down the stretch.
Jesse, really appreciate your stuff. Good luck covering the trade deadline. Tomorrow, it's all over, pal, so we can focus on just being lazy again.
Yeah, they keep me busy for this week.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jesse.
I was really talking about us.
Yeah.
Being lazy.
Yeah,
it's busy week for everyone.
Busy week tonight, 12 games on tap. We're speaking of Vegas. They go against Vancouver.
Great game.
Tonight.
Great game.
So, okay. If there's a wish list for Vegas and it's Guentzel.
They don't have a ton of scoring, yeah.
If you shoot for the is it the moon and end up with the stars, or is it the stars
shoot
or the
for
moon?
The stars,
or
hit the moon, stars. You're shooting at space.
If you don't get Guentzel, is Riley Smith good enough for you to come back?
Mm.
I mean,
there's a comfort zone.
He's beloved there.
Right?
The fan, like when I went to that game, he came back because it was Pittsburgh. The people were bawling in the crowd.
But he's
people
he's,
were weeping.
Riley Smith?
Yes.
He's an original.
Yes.
He's an original misfit toy.
He scored the Stanley Cup winning goal last year.
You know, in some cases, a fan base might prefer to see a guy like that come back and say, let's do it with the family here. You know?
Yep. Didn't they just kind of trade him for nothing? Maybe they don't want to bring him back either.
Yeah, he doesn't want to come back. Yeah.
Well, let's just, you don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
The stone stuff.
Well, hold on.
I heard your tone with Jesse.
I believe he has an injury.
Okay.
I believe that if playoffs started April 2nd, there's a chance he might be ready April 2nd. I think it's like, okay, he's hurt. Why don't we just make sure he's healthy? We'll make it to playoffs. And even, I think expressing a lot of people's skepticism.
You're a little
I'm
skeptical.
Speaking for the people.
A little skeptical.
Jake Guentzel ends up in Vegas.
Mm.
People are going to be screaming bloody murder.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, watch Mark Stone come back to me.
Sorry,
I'm ready.
It will piss off a large fan base. And you could start with the first one here in Toronto, where they've been pressed up for the last few years, as we well documented that in our first hour.
Mm. Well, I mean, they're
and
in LTIR.
It could be so easy for John Tavares to come up with a bad back here and take one for the team and solve all their problems, every last one of them.
Let me ask you. Is that not a reasonable competitive thing to have a discussion about for a month to rest a veteran guy and add another?
Of course it is. And you can't tell me over the course of his career, you couldn't legitimize something on wear and tear for him at his age and go, I need a few months.
My hip flexors are killing me.
I need a month.
Buddy, you're talking about this is Vegas versus Toronto. They got the Tavares and LTIR. Gary sent it on a SWAT team to Ford Performance Center, kicking the door down, be like, show me the leg! Show me the leg! Like, are you kidding me?
That's a reality show.
My God.
If they get Guentzel, I think the NHL will have to make some sort of formal... Some formal proof of Stone's injury will come out. Like,
There are doctor reports. They do go down that path.
But I think they're going to have to make it public, because I think the fans are going to scream bloody murder that this is unfair.
Yeah, you listen, first of all, you're not making anybody's medical records public. That's not happening, JB.
Seems like a bit of a dangerous precedent.
I'm not asking for an open book, but you don't think the league would have to validate that they operated fairly.
They can report that they are satisfied.
Mm. There you go.
But they're doing that because they're not questioning anything right now publicly. So it according to the NHL's head office, it's passing the smell test.
He should have to submit his spleen in a manila envelope, mail it to the NHL, prove it's damaged.
You know who I really do feel for is my Edmonton fan brethren.
Yeah, watching this happen, watching sucks. A competitor no, like, play to a $98 million salary
your
cap.
Your direct competitor,
to your own, yeah.
who's going to have, like, the second
your
the playoff starts.
First round opponent.
You're immediately going to have Stone in there. You're immediately going to have potentially Gensel, Eichel's back, Hannafin's in there.
Looking at this, they're playing Vegas in round one.
No, I mean, it's the Kings have been better, so they're kind of going back and forth, but they haven't made the additions.
I am
get out of here.
Dumbfounded.
I like the Kings stuff.
I am dumbfounded that you know you shut down the league. You get a bunch of lawyers in a room battling over a collective bargaining agreement, and no one saw this. That you get you know to kind of wipe out, and if you're injured, then you get to do this, this, and this. And then in theory, you can win a Stanley Cup with a $100 million payroll, yet others are still at 80.
Yeah, it's...
It's you, crazy.
You should, even in playoffs, you should have to dress a 20-man roster that fits under the cap. So you can carry more guys... But if you can't dress 20 players that fits under, that's not in the spirit of why we have a salary cap. Mm. To me, it's like, you know, it's insane to think that, okay, season's over. Now bring back everyone who's been hurt, and they do the WWE gif of the wow. guy with the but leg and the blanket.
Here's the thing. I get why, like I said, my Edmonton fan friends are pissed. I get why other people around the league are pissed. But this is a very clear loophole that a smart organization is driving a Mack truck through that
loophole.
But
then you're also implying that there, you believe it's a little...
I wouldn't say it's all super above board. No, I wouldn't go that far.
It's just incredibly gray.
Gray, yeah. Exactly right.
You know what I think? Okay. The trade deadline is too close to the playoffs. So you only got to sit out a month. It's a month from March 8th to when the season ends. It might be more April 10th or something.
So... Yeah, you're right.
If you backed it up a month, then it's a lot bigger ask to say, well, you miss a quarter of the season or more.
Mid-January. Yeah. Early February. That's it.
And then, because it's a big ask for a guy to miss that much of the season and come back for playoffs game one.
Yeah, it's really set up to ask a few guys to pull the chute.
It's interesting to know if, you know, a guy like Tree Living wouldn't call on whoever, Gensel, whoever it is you like, call on guys like that, see if there were a trade to be made. And then take it to a guy on your team and say, what do you think? How you feeling? Could you use some rest?
I believe that conversation happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how could
I can't
it not?
Wait right. But you, when you guys are retired, you 20 years have, now doing podcasts going, oh, they came
you,
to me.
You also you know have to have.
Loophole went on. Remember we went on Instagram and then Lou was like, take that back. He's like, I'm sorry. I was hurt.
You have to have a willing participant though.
Yeah.
Right. And like Klingberg in Toronto wanted to have surgery.
Mm-hmm. That was lucky.
Lucky for the Leafs.
Could he have played?
He's like, been a good soldier all the way along.
It does make sense. First of all, he was playing horribly.
Oh, yeah.
So let me send the message to everybody that I'm hurt. I'm going to get better. And then this summer when you sign me, you're going to get a healthier defenseman. So it plays well for Klingberg to go back and say, listen, if Klingberg was playing great and still hurting, he's going to play through it.
Yeah.
You're not taking yourself out of the game when there's only upside for you. Mm. So it made sense for him. So there's a willing participant. Yeah. It's legit enough where he does need cleaning up. I don't know where you are on, like, anybody can go in there and clean anything up.
Buddy, I can book. I promise.
I can book next week.
Yeah.
And with my shoulder and my possibly hip.
I got hips and knees.
They can go and clean it up and you're much better for it. But you don't do it because it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. So I'm just looking at, I mean, the Leafs, like, people are texting me like, you jealous fools, the Leafs use it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah. The Leafs, I want to be clear, are fully using this to its maximum potential.
Yeah.
They have Jake Muzzin, Matt Murray, John Klingberg, and interestingly enough, Connor Timmins on LTIR.
Yeah, today.
That one's a little strange, is it not?
Yeah, when he comes back, someone will
have to go. He was mono, wasn't it?
But hold on. This is, people are misunderstanding. The Leafs are in LTIR because they have injuries to players who can't play anymore.
No, they can't play.
Can't play at all. Murray.
Muzzin is.
Career. Muzzin's done for
he's
life.
He's a scout.
Yes.
He's scout.
You know, like, their guys aren't coming back to do hockey in the playoffs.
Yes.
Which Vegas's are for a third straight year.
Three in a row.
Yeah.
It's like,
Tampa
oh boy.
Tampa did it to a great yeah, I mean, effect
that's
when
the,
they won.
That's the reason they won cups. They were like $100 million over the cap. Kucherov was skating
not
for three.
Over, but yeah.
He was skating for 3 months, and then it was like, oh, I'm feeling better all of a sudden.
Yeah. Game one.
Yeah.
You should at least have to come back game two.
Yeah.
Like, game
missed
one.
Missed the first
come
one,
on.
Maybe. Keep well, up appearances.
Let's play pretend here.
Yeah.
Are we doing game time, or are we taking
we'll,
a break?
We'll do a break, and then we'll do game time.
Okay. Sammy's after the break, game time, plus Toffoli to Vancouver.
Mm.
What? He's sitting out, right? Not yeah. playing tonight?
We'll get into that and maybe more Gensel after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. 12 games on tap. A busy, busy night. Sammy's going to get us all ready with game time.
Wow, what a tee up. You're really good at this, Kipper.
Don't try this at home, folks.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play it responsibly. Now, I'll get into some of the games for tonight, but I was just looking at, because we were talking about what a gauntlet the Western Conference is, mm-hmm. and I'm just looking at what the favorites are to win that conference. The favorite to win the conference on Bet365 is the Edmonton Oilers at plus 275. The next favorite is the Canucks at plus 425. Goes Colorado, Jets, Dallas plus 525.
Oh, that's a good bet.
And the Vegas Golden Knights plus 700. And after that, it's
that's your bet.
Kings, Preds.
Would this have been updated since the trades?
Yes. Yeah. They keep it.
It's not building in future trades. And the team that seems most likely to make one is still Vegas, which at that point, it's like that's where you might potentially get value. Is all of a sudden they add Gensel and they might move to plus 600.
I got to tell you, I love the Stars plus 525 there.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
Like I think they're probably, I don't know if they're better than the Canucks, but they're a really good team. And looking at the Eastern Conference, the no surprise Florida Panthers, a pretty overwhelming favorite. They're plus 275 to win the Eastern Conference. Boston Bruins are plus 500. Rangers plus 500. Carolina, who's rumored to be in the sweepstakes for Jake Gensel. And they also have activated Freddie Anderson today off IR.
Ooh.
So they're plus 600. And then the Leafs are plus 600. And then it drops off Lightning, Red Wings, Flyers, Islanders. So anyone.
I like Carolina there.
Yeah. But I mean, feels like it's just going to be tough.
Is Freddie going to break hearts again?
Probably.
You know, I don't think he was as bad in playoffs as everyone in Toronto remembers him being.
Oh, my God.
I know you're a diehard Freddie Sutton.
Couldn't make a big save.
Are you kidding me? Jake Gardner has been lambasted in this city for being -5 in game 7 because Freddie couldn't stop a beer leaguer.
Now that I know it bothers you, so I actually think he was really good.
Oh,
well, now you're going to kill him right now.
You know, what was his numbers? Over 900?
Just look at the elimination game numbers. That's all you need to know. Bad.
Yeah. No, he could not rise. Mm-mm. He's a guy that can help you get the make the playoffs, and that was Lou Lamoriello's big signing in Toronto. Mm. He gave up a first, two firsts maybe.
Yeah.
He gave up something very big. Mm. Then he signed him to a $5 million a year contract.
It was a good contract.
He gave them playoff type of goaltending to get in.
You know what though? His demeanor very much matches that of the rest of their core, which is very even and level.
Yes.
And, not his fault.
If it doesn't quite go your way.
And if there's a little heat, then I got to take a few days off.
Myself.
So I'm just looking at
he could have been a great goalie too.
I think he's a great goalie. You're right. In the playoffs, he was never the best goalie in a series, not once in his time in Toronto.
Not a ton of, big games tonight, really. I'm looking at it here. I mean, the Leafs and Bruins is probably the premier matchup.
That's large.
Flyers paying a visit to Florida. I feel like that could be a bit of a grease fest.
I guess the question is, do you believe the Penguins are done? Do you believe the Devils are done?
Yeah.
Are the Islanders?
So it is Washington and Pitt.
That was going to be my next one.
Okay,
here.
Go ahead.
Pittsburgh's massive favorites. They're -170.
to me, it's like they should not be favored about that much by against anyone.
What's minus 1.5?
Minus 1.5 is plus 145.
Caps will be crushed after losing Edmondson emotionally.
Their defense will just be no good.
Once upon a time, we'd start the conversation with that game with Sid versus Sid. Ovi.
It's Ovi. It's not the playoffs. Yeah, no, it's a different vibe.
No, I...
Now that he's traded to Colorado and...
Yeah, now that the Leafs are sniffing around. All right, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Best player that you would have liked your team to get at this deadline has to be Yakov Trenin. Like, you know, we do our Leafs Hour. Didn't mention it there. But, like, if you're the Oilers, if you're...
Is he your Janot?
Yeah,
from last year?
Yeah, but probably a better offensive player.
Cheaper.
Yeah, double-digit goals, like, I think a couple of years in a row. Maybe I'm...
He's got 10 goals in...
Remind me what Tampa paid for Janot again.
I will remind you, a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth.
But that's crazy.
It is crazy.
For bottom five?
When they traded for him the year before, he had scored 20 times. He scored 20 as a 6'4" guy who fought more than anyone else in the NHL. And they were like, we're going to have him for his whole career. Now you're stuck with him for his whole career. He's been okay.
I mean, he's got 12 points in 42 games, dash 11.
I'll walk back the okay part then. Maybe he's just been not very good.
But I like that pickup a lot for Trenin, for them there. You mentioned something about Toffoli?
Yeah, Toffoli. I don't know what's going on with Jersey, but they are shopping him. He is...
So they're just punting. Season's over.
Teams that need scoring wingers. Vancouver. What do you think?
Yeah.
Would you go there?
I mean, I don't feel like that's what the Canucks need personally. Like, I think they could use Elias Lindholm to play better hockey. I don't know. Tough for me to say. Like, adding good players is always a good idea. What's that cost going to be? You like him for Vancouver? I don't know. I'm uninspired by it.
I am depth.
Yeah, that would help.
Right? But at what cost? And I think he can score. He can shoot it in the net.
Am I crazy,
but is he
though?
Too
is
close
that, like,
to
not
Brock
the thing they need?
Besser? Is he just too... Are they too similar?
Yeah, I think so. I could just use a little bit more, like Buchnevich or like a bigger move like that. I understand it's not easy, but like, wouldn't you love that for them?
Yeah. And if Guentzel, if he doesn't end up in Vegas, Vancouver doesn't seem to have enough, I think, to...
What is it? They don't have enough that they want? They don't have enough assets?
It's just, I would imagine up until now, Kyle's prices have dropped somewhat here, so maybe they get back into it. But I was told the other day that it was too rich.
If prices drop here, is it like should we see if we can re-sign this guy sort of situation? Or
someone did mention to me out of Pittsburgh that they may try to revisit signing him again if it's a reasonable number. So what does that mean for Guentzel, who's one of the best scoring wingers in the game? Is that... They're going to try to steal him at 8.5, 9?
You know, it's not like, what are you offering Guentzel when it's like, we're not the no-tax state.
Yeah.
We're not in a playoff spot with a bright future.
But he likes it there.
Okay.
And he loves Sid.
Yeah.
And if you're telling him that Sid's going to stick around for the next 3 years and we're going to re-up him.
You know, Dubas has the advantage in Pittsburgh in that he didn't sign all those contracts, right? Like the Malkin Letang, was that the previous guy?
It was the previous.
You know, like, could he approach them and say...
The answer is yes.
Okay.
I think it's easier.
It's easier to be like, hey...
And I'll tell you the one place that Malkin would go, but I don't know if, like, where... This isn't for tomorrow at 3 p.m., but if you eventually had to move that contract, he would go to Florida.
Oh God, Florida.
Right? No, I'm just saying though. And it's that whole thing about Bobrovsky and Tarasenko, the Russian community down there. They love it down there.
But I'll tell
and
you
he
this.
Wanted to go there. I think there was, if it wasn't going to work out in Pitt and he wasn't going to get his extension through Brian Burke and Ron Hextall, then he was going to try to pick his spot, and that would have been Florida.
But you have made the case to me in the past that all these guys that came home to Toronto, Joe Thornton and Wayne Simmons and Marlowe and Ontario Boy, and there's a list of guys who came home. It's not necessarily for the right reasons. Like, if you want to go to Florida...
To retire,
live on the beach, be in a Russian community.
You just retire.
And also, might as well keep collecting a paycheck.
You want to keep playing.
Tax-free, might as well grab your money.
But don't you get your money if you retire?
Tax-free.
No, you don't.
You don't?
No, you can't just pack it in and keep getting paid.
No, there has to be a reason why.
Yeah, you can injury retire and get paid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like if all those guys want to go down, if I'm Florida and I'm like, I don't know that we want to be your retirement home if you're not here for hockey.
But at the right price, it could still make a lot of sense if you see value in it, but you don't want to overpay for that value. So if it fits in, like we're not paying you, Gino, we're not paying you 6.5 or 7 to come down. We're going to pay you 3.5.
Right.
For on a 1-year deal.
Unfortunately, his contract is...
Many more years.
Oh, yes. I know. It's a little... it's probably a little late to think that way.
Two more after this one.
And I don't think Letang wants to go anywhere.
No.
So I think...
There's a good right shot, D, for the Leafs.
I think you're married. I think you're married to those contracts.
Hey, did you see the Forsling contract with the Panthers today?
Another good one. This is a pretty remarkable story, isn't it?
Didn't love it.
Was he a waiver claim?
He was.
Came out of nowhere.
From Carolina? Was it Carolina that waived him?
Really?
Maybe not.
That would surprise me. Okay. Let's find this, though.
Yeah. But he ends up signing an 8-year deal for 5.75, which in Canada is like 12.
Forsling was with Chicago.
No, he was claimed off waiver by the Carolina Hurricanes January
9th.
Charlotte,
there you go.
2021.
Who gets put on waivers and then
signs an 8-year deal? 3 years.
Three years later, gets an 8-year deal.
When you play really well for 3 straight seasons with a team, they usually want to keep you around.
Just eating major minutes.
Do we give enough credit to that Florida blue line? I know
we give them credit every day.
All we do is give them credit.
It's
a Panthers hour.
Oh my God.
We talk about Vegas's blue line being the best and big and strong and mobile, but like out of nowhere, this Florida blue line became pretty darn impressive here.
Funny because it's a number of, shelter dogs, if you will. You know, it's OEL, who was fresh off a buyout. Montour had lost value from what he once had, maybe, and Forsling was a waiver claim, like guys that are reclamation projects who've done very well for themselves.
And their next mission is to make sure Montour doesn't go anywhere either. He's UFA.
Yeah, he'll sign for 8 years, $10 per.
If there's a few teams looking for a legit top four D, it looks okay this summer with a few choices. Forsling's off the market now, obviously, but Brett Pesce's still out there, and I don't know what Carolina's going to do with him.
Carolina just lets him become a free agent.
That's what I'm thinking. They're way too cheap.
Yeah, to lose an asset
for nothing.
Like him.
They don't rent their own players.
It's interesting. I wonder if they're trying to turn him into a player today. Like sort of a one-for-one guy with some term or for... find out where Pesce would extend.
The Leafs would have great interest in him this summer.
Yeah, like would Carolina want Brody or Liljegren? Probably not.
No.
I'm just thinking about like a guy for Carolina they could use this year that isn't a punt.
Then you'd have to give up your first.
Yeah.
Liljegren. And then you sign and trade.
Yeah, you do a first in Liljegren for Pesce and an 8-year deal. 8? No. 6?
How old is he? He's a little older, isn't he?
I'm going to tell you.
He's not like 28, is he?
He's 29.
Turning 30 this summer?
Not till November.
Okay. I think it's safe to say that guy's going to end up with a 5 or 6 year deal.
Yeah.
Six if you bring the number down.
Mm-hmm. I guess it would depend on Carolina liking the other player that would be going back as well, and I'm not sure the Leafs would have the one you need. So, yeah, lots of teams out there would have issue or interest in a deal like that for Pesce. I would keep an eye on him. I think something will happen there.
They also signed Jonah Gadjevich to a 2-year contract today. the Florida Panthers. Yeah, they were busy.
Good. Strong opinions on him.
Yeah, he's playing for the attack.
Oh,
hard-nosed guy. Okay. Yeah, he's tough. Just really one of their like kind of identity guys, one of their you-know-whats in the bottom half of their lineup.
I love that Martinuk there.
So what team
it was Florida that time.
Outside of maybe Vegas or Boston or Carolina strike you as, I don't know, low in the weeds right now that needs to step up?
Well, is L.A. just going to punt on the year?
Good question.
Just watch all these teams in the West get better while they, you know.
Would you not be trying to get Allmark out of Boston?
Yeah, you think they might move one of those goalies? I heard the Swayman thing is close.
On an extension?
Yeah. And if they do that, do they then trade Allmark? God, I can't see him doing that in a year.
What's Allmark have left on his deal?
This year, next at five, right?
So can you keep him and just go into the playoffs with these two guys, or does that does that keep another asset that could be better utilized and cap space with $5 million to take a run at a Stanley Cup this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what you're weighing out.
I don't know what their third goalie situation would look like, but Swayman's 25 and Allmark's 30, so you can imagine which one they're hoping to hang on to there. Yeah, that's definitely a spot to watch too, because otherwise, in terms of goaltenders, like if you thought it was going to be New Jersey, they're not trading for anyone anymore. They've seemed to be going the other direction. Sell mode now.
They were so close to Markstrom, and I would imagine it just gets revisited in the summer. Or, you know, someone mentioned to me that the ownership is not interested in Calgary taking the next 2 or 3 years off to rebuild or...
No.
They don't feel like they can
have a bad team and a bad building at the same time.
Yes, that's really well put.
Yeah, thank you.
Very well put.
Yeah.
So...
Well, the thing is, they got this Wolf and they got Vladar. It's not like you're going to lose for sure.
Could you keep him and just say, Markstrom's, he's going to be a good goalie in his later 30s. He's 34 right now, and he can still keep this level for 36, 37.
Elite goalies tend to be good that long. I think you can certainly say you're going to do that and drive the value up, which doesn't hurt either.
Can I ask you guys a really stupid question?
You've done it for 3 years.
Why do you want
to stop now?
So this is a Leaf thing. Sorry, National Hour. We're about to wrap up here. Sheldon Keefe says he doesn't anticipate Joel Edmondson will play tonight as he's arriving around the time of the game. However, there's a number of game time decisions due to the flu that may force Edmondson to make an appearance at some point tonight. Jake McCabe is recovered and will play. Like, at some point tonight? If they declare him, can he come in late?
Put a guy in the lineup.
If he's on the game sheet, if they put him on the game sheet, he could show up in the third period.
Like
he could hang out in the dressing room.
Like how the guys in my beer league team showing up halfway through the first period.
They're like, this guy we just traded for who misses 30 games a year due to injury. We're going to throw him in, no warm up,
right off the plane.
No knowledge of the systems.
Field goal kickers do it all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
They sit there, come out and kick a goal, kick one through the post, and then go back and sit there forever.
So what you're telling me is, if he's not there on time and they put him on the game sheet, he can still play.
That's my understanding.
Okay. So it wasn't that dumb of a question? Or was it dumb?
No.
Okay. Totally really good question.
Thank you.
So how many, like, you got a field, there's a minimum here, right? You can't come to the game with, like, 12 guys.
Yeah. You mean like the zigzags at 11 p.m.? Grinding to get 7 guys
rent
together.
The goalie?
Yeah. 7 guys, not enough to play a beer league game.
So what you're telling us is that they could be playing with 17 skaters.
No, I think these guys are pretty sick, fellas.
Yeah.
And we saw it last night. It was a pretty sick effort. And I'm not talking about the good sick.
Yeah.
I'm worried about this evening.
They got the flu. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Play the world's smallest violin for me, please.
Oh, yeah, Kipper. I know.
Come on.
Kipper, you were
whoever's
talking about
in tonight.
You say you had the sniffles yesterday. You were wearing a toque.
Buddy, I'm 57 and I'm soft as a pillow right now. I'm not in the National Hockey League.
Good argument.
Great. Great job, boys.
Okay. Our thanks to Jesse Granger. Covers the Athletic for Vegas. Great job, Jess. And we're back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. Have a great night, everybody.
Trade deadline.